Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Yesterday, and for all of you guys that came out and helped do that, I sure appreciate that. It's a blessing. As you can see, we have a lot of work to do. We do this because we want to be a good steward over what's been given to us. Amen? But we also do it because the city will gripe if we don't. So just going to throw that out. Because we've got phone calls before. So we want to be a good steward. And you know what? It's a blessing to have something to take care of, you know. And I'm looking forward to the day when we have our own house. And because of all the seeds we planted in somebody else's yard, we reaped the harvest of that. So for all of those, I know that there were some folks that wanted to be here. They just couldn't make it. March 12th. Everybody say March 12th. I'm hoping that is a Saturday. I just pulled that date. So March 12th, we'll have another work day. We want to tackle some more of these areas before they get to where we can't see each other walking through the, you know. Because those weeds kind of laugh at you at that point. But we want to make sure they don't get that high so they don't get any egos. So just put that on your calendar, March 12th. We'll meet here at 8. We'll take care of some more stuff. And we are looking into what the cost would be to have a company come in and maintain that. But I don't want to hand them over something where there's weeds this high because that costs us more money. So let's just knock it out. We'll do what we can do until we get somebody to come in here and take care of it. And then it'll be a good thing. So March 12th, just kind of put that on your calendar. What else was there? I think that's it for now. Let me see how many people have. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14. 15. So let's go. Just count off, but we'll do fours again. We'll have an odd team with less, but that's all right. Just count off by fours. Four. Well, that'd make you three. One, two, three,
four.
And then Orin will be
a one.
Two. All right, so let's do this. All of the, how many ones do we have? We have two ones, three ones. We have more than that. Oh, orange, yeah. Okay, all the ones, let's meet right behind Dave and Beth, right in this area here. How many twos? One, two, three. We had one more, didn't we? Oh, yeah, there we go. All the twos, let's meet right here in the row that Greg is in. All the threes, you're three. Let's meet there where Steve's at. And the fours, we can meet right there where Rich is at. Might as well. Thank you for seeing those. At least I didn't sit down and break one in my pocket. And then when you get in your groups, designate a note taker and give them, we're going to pass out a card and a pen. Note taker and a pen.
Yeah, that was
Okay. So, you guys, what group are you?
Two.
Two. I'll give you that. Who's group one was? Okay. I'll give this mic to you now so I don't forget. Hey, I like that. A little round circle. That works. Going, I'll give you that. Just, you'll know. Okay. So, we're going to continue our group discussion that we had last week. And we're going to, you know what? I forgot. What number did we leave on? You tried to get out of it, didn't you? If we don't say something, he won't see us. What groups are short? Okay, 3 and 4. So we'll find those. I think, is that 3 and 4 here? Okay, yeah. All right. Okay. Okay. So for now, we have to go through the ground rules again, just so everyone knows, because some of you weren't here last week. Everybody listening? I would use some terms that my wife uses in her preschool class, but you can't very well do crisscross applesauce in your seating arrangement that you are now. We used to call it Indian style seating, but we can't do that with chairs. Anyway, rule number one is answers have to come from you. In other words, you can't, you know, if somebody gives an answer in the group and you're like, yeah, that one. Everybody has to have an answer. That means everybody participates. So that's rule number one. And then rule number two is no philosophical or Christianese answers. You say, what is that? Well, that means if you can spout off generalities and it sounds like you're quoting somebody else, none of that. That's got to come from you, out of your head. Okay? All right. Now, we asked this question last week, and for all that missed it, I don't want you to feel left out, so we're going to ask it again. And there's a game called Would You Rather? And in that game, you're presented with two scenarios, and you have to decide which one you would rather do. So the question is, would you rather, for 1 hour, be in a room filled with people you didn't know, and have to have meaningful conversation with them, or would you rather participate with your local church body in fellowship activities where those people would be able to really get to know you? Which one would you rather? Anybody?
Second one.
No, who said? First one. You'd rather be in a room full of strangers. How many ones? Two. I don't know what you. How many ones? Four. Okay. Say, how many twos? Okay. Split down the middle. Okay. Interesting, isn't it? Okay. So last week we presented a series of questions. And we're going to kind of go through. I tried to summarize the answers. We had a lot of fantastic answers. The first question was, what does healthy community look like in a local church environment? And so everybody got into their groups, kind of like looks like today, and they came up with individual answers from each group. Went through the answers. The spokesperson from each group basically read off the answers that group had come up with. So for this question, what does healthy community look like in a local church environment? Here's some of the answers, and you'll see that I've kind of put them into a general flow I'm sorry, you can't even read that. I don't even know if you can read that. Excitement. Well, at least you can, you know, don't look at that screen because you can't read a thing on that one. Number one, it was said that authentic, healthy community environment in a local church has to start with excitement. You can't wait to get there. Right? You can't wait to get there. And then it went from being fed in all ways, and that meant spiritually and socially, greeting and speaking to one another. You would hope people would talk to each other in a local church, right? Number four, the action of the people matches the message of the church culture. We heard a lot last week about this word called genuine. Everybody heard the word genuine. I want a genuine this, I want a genuine. And the challenge is we throw that word around, we don't really know what we're asking for. So we tried to articulate what exactly are we meaning when we say, I want people to be genuine. Because, that's pretty subjective. So what we came up with is the best way we could describe it, and I'm sure somebody in here could probably maybe articulate it a little better, but we came up with this, the actions of the people match the message of the church. The culture of the people matches the message of the church. And then being transparent, people are willing to put themselves out there. Does everybody know what that means, to put yourself out there? Let's talk about that real quick. What does that mean to be willing to put yourself out there? What's that look like? This is a group thing, so just anybody. What was that?
Vulnerable.
Vulnerable. What does that mean? Yeah. Anybody else have an idea? Thought? Don't want to be here? When's the restaurant open? Okay. Okay. Good. Experiencing people who are willing to relax and be themselves. Real conversation. It's kind of what you touched on. Being able to share what's on your heart. Experiencing openness of people's hearts, and then an environment or culture that gives generously of your love and your time. And then we heard this word a lot last week, fellowship. We use that word a lot. Fellowship. What does that mean? Well, what if we defined it as spending quality time with each other? Would that be an accurate definition? Because, I mean, if I go down to Home Depot and I walk through the checkout line and I say, hey, man, I like your shirt. Is that fellowship? No. That's, you just made a verbal contact with someone, but there's not any fellowship there. So fellowship would be spending quality time with each other. And here's one that's interesting. Involved with each other outside church service.
Amen.
Involved with each other outside of church service. These are all things that you had said that are what healthy community looks like inside a local church. How are we doing so far? Is there anybody in here? At least for the audio, say something so people don't think I'm talking to an empty room. So, okay, moving on. Small town environment without the behind your back talk. I think someone called it gossip, but I wanted to spell it out a little further. Behind your back talk. And then the word judged was put out there. We don't want an environment where people feel judged. Now let me ask you a question. Is someone feeling self-conscious mean they're being judged?
No.
But yet we see that a lot, don't we?
Yeah.
People will call something, well, those people are just judging me. When the reality of it is they're just self-conscious.
Yeah.
There's a difference. Right? So, an inward support structure. Somebody put out the word family. How many know in a healthy community family, for instance, this last week, I was just getting ready to go to bed from a whale of a day. and my phone rings. And who on the other end of the phone would be but my son after 10 o'clock. And he said, "Dad, you got anything that airs up a tire?" Oh. I said, "Why don't you just use your spare?" "I use my spare. It's on my car right now." So, healthy community would not be, "Well, pal, you're on your own, man. I'm going to bed." So I changed my clothes, put on my street clothes, and went out and aired his tire up and came home. So, an inward support structure, which is what we would call family. Now, let me ask you a question, because this poses an interesting thought. We have verbalized that we want an inward support structure, and that that's the way a healthy environment in a local church looks like. I don't need you to necessarily answer, but I do need you to wrap your mind around this. If I was to point out certain individuals in this room and say, "Anybody know what challenges they're having?" Would you be able to say yes and answer me? In here. If I was to point to somebody else in this room and say, does anybody know what challenges they're having? Would anybody be able to say, "Yep, I do"? Yeah. See, if we're going to have an inward support structure, and that's what we call a healthy environment for a local church, then other people have to know what your needs are. Right? How would there be any inward support structure when no one knows what your needs are?
That's right.
And wouldn't putting your needs out there, wouldn't that be a part of being transparent? Because I've, you know, in all of my days, folks, I'm being honest with you. In all of my days of doing the church thing, the mindset is, I'm going to veil my life to everyone around me. I don't want them to know what I'm going through. I don't want them to know any of my challenges. And then they get upset and irritated and burned out and they leave a church because nobody cares. But you're asking a whole lot of folks to be led by the Spirit of God to know exactly what's going on with you if you weren't willing to be transparent enough and to make the need known.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
What do you do when that's what you're taught?
Well, yeah, I get
when
it.
When you come out of that so-called, you're in it.
I get it. It's just like anything. I think we have to. There were a lot of things that, you know, early on, because I came through a lot of the same environments. And I think there was intentions that were good, but it seems like a lot of those intentions, they were simply trying to protect from when other people's just decided to walk, if I can use this term because the Bible uses it, they wanted to walk in their own flesh and their own heads and their own, and because, you know, the thing about it is if we're going to establish, if we're going to set our target to be a healthy community, then we all have to be willing to come out of wanting to walk in our own feelings. Right? Because if we're going to walk in our own feelings, it doesn't work. Because somebody's going to get hurt in their heads because they put an expectation on somebody but they didn't tell them about it. And so that's what happens a lot of times. That's why, you know, if you boil down any kind of church splits or any kind of church damage or whatever, it always boils down to people are walking in their own emotions and they put expectations on somebody else and that person didn't know. And they put expectations, they're misplaced because they had no right to do that. So it's just a process. I think everybody's kind of as long as everyone's willing to grow and learn and make adjustments as we go. And then I think that it also goes into the aspect of, you know, is this a safe place? You know, I think somebody asked me a couple of weeks ago, you know, how do you clean up a mess? Well, we have to be willing first to have messes, and then, you know, not go ballistic when we have a mess. Let's just clean it up, and you know, if we don't use BS, because you know the devil is full of BS, right? Everybody say the devil is full of BS. Pastor cussed. No, he's full of blame and shame. So if we make it our culture to be free from blame and shame, then we create a safe place to where, you know what, people are going to make mistakes. You know, it's just like a marriage. You got to be willing to let the other person make a mistake. You know, if you're going to hold a list of standards that you expect them to hit, they're going to fail every single time. Well, you didn't marry them because they hit a list of standards. You married them because you loved them. Well, give them room to fail then. And when they fail, be the one that's right there with your hand out to lift them back up, dust them off, and say, that's okay, we'll give it another go. Right? Does that answer your question? Okay. Inward support structure and family, interactive outside the four walls. Going along with that, I love this. This was said, to participate or participation, being involved, and I put it like this, being involved with the passion of his heart and his interests. Because that's kind of how Paul deals with it in the New Testament. He talks about, you know, folks having the interests of Jesus. So if the interests of Jesus are people, our best children's minister is not in here. It's not my wife either. Our best youth minister is not in here. They're still out there. Our best administrators might still be out there. So we have to be interested in what he's interested in, interactive outside the four walls, participation, being involved with the passion of his heart and his interests, and then helpful in the community. And I put it like this, involved in the culture of your city. This one flies in the face of most church upbringing. But folks, until we're willing to be involved in the culture of our city, does anybody know what's happening in this city? Does anybody know some of the cultural things that are going on in this city any given time? Because we should. We should be completely involved in what the culture of the city is, because it's all about influence. See, when I was growing up in church, the church was all about what's going on between the four walls, in the sanctuary, in the chairs. And then we got mad because nobody wanted to be a part of us. So instead of getting mad and getting hurt about that, we decided our job should be to curse the darkness. We're going to make them feel really bad, because they won't come be with us, so we're going to point out their junk. And that didn't work either, because that's the wrong model. If you look at the New Testament, the New Covenant, the book of Acts, it was a marketplace model. They were out there in the community, in the culture of their cities. And they brought Jesus to them. And then as a result of meeting Jesus out there, then they came and joined themselves to the people, and then they got into a cycle of fellowship, building relationships, building in discipleship, and growing into the things of the Spirit of God. But we have to be willing to, you know, all of these things are fantastic. Excitement, can't wait to get there. Being fed in all ways, spiritually and socially. Greeting and speaking to one another. The actions of the people match the message of the church culture. Being transparent, that means you also make known your needs. I heard this the other day. I thought this was fantastic. There was a service going on, and all of a sudden the thing just turned into a swap meet. That's how they described it. It was a total God thing. All of a sudden somebody said, well, I need a washer and dryer. And somebody on the other end of the congregation yelled out, "Well, I got a couple extra ones you can have." And that just kept going. And pretty soon, everybody that had needs in that place, somebody else had what they needed, and they just met up and took care of it. But the guy, what if the guy had never spoke up, "I need a washer and dryer"? He may not have got one, because nobody knew he had that need. So, but all of those things are great, but they all have to move outward past the four walls to participate in what the heart of Father is and His interests, and His interests are people. If we always understand this, folks, that, you know, a church is a snapshot at any given time of where we are, but it's not where we're going to land, right? You know, when I was up here worshiping this morning, and I always ask the Lord, "Lord, show me what you see." And all of a sudden, it was like I was looking down on a congregation, and the platform is here, and the room went way that way. Like, way that way. And I just saw, I mean, it was this, but it was an elongated room, and there was thousands of people in there. And when we were singing, "Our God is Greater," it was like I heard one voice. But it wasn't the voices of what's here now. It was the voices of what I saw. But it all sounded like one voice. Because, see, He knows where He's taking us. And it's easy for us to get stuck in a snapshot in time and start thinking that way, acting that way, and it becomes us. The challenge with the children of Israel was the fact that, yeah, God led them out of Israel, but He never got Israel out of them. Or Egypt. He never got Egypt out of them. So it's important for us, and we're trying to develop, and you verbalized what you have felt. Authentic community, healthy community in a local church is. But I want you to understand this, that sometimes when we verbalize these things, and our snapshot in time is just what you see right now. And I will submit this to you folks, that you cannot let what you see right now be your definition of what authentic community is. Because if we're going to be a part and be in participation in what's God's heart, He's going to add to us daily them that should be saved. Which means there'll come a time when we're too big for this place. Right? So whatever our model of authentic community is, it has to develop and it has to facilitate, no matter how many people are in that picture, it still has to facilitate that. It's a growing, developing, but it's always the structure from which we're living from, right? I'm going to say it like this. If all the things that we say in these screens are authentic community, if in your minds that only applies to a congregation that's below the level of 100 people, so then we all of a sudden we jump to 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 1,000. And your thought is, well, there goes authentic community. That's not accurate. Because whatever we have said is authentic community, if we're willing to put it in place, we're willing for God to build it through us, it will facilitate. The numbers don't make the authentic community. It's what the decision of the people in that numbers dictates. Does that make sense? Okay. So, here's your question. First question. No, sorry. We talked about this last week. This is what you said was important to you in that environment of healthy community. You said that you wanted connection with others around the Word and His presence and in worship. You said that what was important to you was you were sharing the testimonies of God's love weekly. Incidentally, let me just mention, I'll throw this in there since this reminded me. This last Tuesday, we had a good time at the mall. we broke up into groups, and my group, we went into a couple, two, three stores, and, you know, the first one we went into, we just kind of carried on conversation with the gal, and, you know, we just spoke with her and said, you know what, it's a, God loves you. Jesus thinks you're amazing. And just carrying the conversation with her. And she was very appreciative of that. And so we went on to, then we went and we were walking around and we went into this store. You know, the store called Hot Topics. Is that the name of it? Hot Topics?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a pretty radical store. And so we went in there and there was a guy in there. His name is Joe. He's an awesome dude, and I just kind of felt like, again, we're just going off of what God gives us in the moment. You know, we're practicing. Everybody say practice. So I felt like, you know, Joe, are you a musician? And he said yes. And I don't think I said this, but I kind of felt like it was bass, but I wasn't sure, so I didn't throw it out there. I just said, are you a musician? And he said, yeah, I play the bass. I play a number of two or three different instruments. And he said, but I don't play, I play by ear. And I think that's cool because I do too. But he had to go help a customer, so I was asking the Lord, what do you want to say to him? And I just kind of felt like when he came back that God wanted to encourage him to keep developing that, because I'm going to use that to give him songs of heaven that no one has ever heard before. But he'll be able to flow with me because he can play by ear. So he'll hear it and he'll play it. So I basically gave him what I had got. And he looked at me and he was very appreciative. Because, you know, how many people don't do that every day? What did we do? Well, you didn't get him saved. No, but I pointed his perspective to heaven. The fact that the giftings that he has on the inside of him, the hand of God is on him and he's taking him someplace with those gifts. So then we went to another store and it was fantastic. We had some folks step out and they just practiced. And it was just good practice. And nothing really happened in that store. And then we went to another store and somebody asked, you know, is there a Jennifer here? There's a couple of gals in there and they were older gals. And they said, nope, she doesn't work here anymore. And then it was awesome because the boldness was there, man. They said, well, what, does anybody want prayer for anything? And you know, the first response is, nope, we're good. How many know that's not always right? That response is there because they don't have a clue who you are. And they don't know where you're going to go with that answer if you say yes. So they're going to say, yeah, everything's good. And so I asked a question. Well, how's everybody's bodies doing? Everybody's body's doing good? Anything going on, giving you problems? And we went from there to the lady who said, yeah, everything's good, to, well, my mom or somebody, who was it, I don't know who it was, just went into a coma. And so right there in the middle of the jewelry store, we all joined hands and prayed for her mom. Everybody say practice. See, I'm telling you, folks, when we get to the place where we just practice this wherever we are, regardless of whether you see any earth-shattering things happen, at some point we're going to start seeing God do some amazing things. Because we're not doing it to get a result, we're doing it because it's our culture. You might as well say amen. Amen. So, sharing the testimonies of God weekly, I just did. Small groups, home groups, life groups, these are the things that are important to you. You said they're important to you. That what they say, what they represent, healthy community to you inside a local church. Acceptance, emotional and physical needs support. Again, in order for that to take place, somebody has to make that known. How many have ever been in a relationship where somebody got mad at you because, well, you never call me? How many have their cell phones? If you have your cell phone, hold it up. If you got it with you. If you don't have it with you, don't worry about it. Okay. Let me ask you a question. Does that cell phone dial out or it only takes incoming calls? Oh, okay. So There's a verse in Proverbs that says that if you want a friend, be a friend. That's a simplistic, that's a Dan Olin translation. If you want a friend, be a friend. What's it really saying? Whatever you sow, you'll reap. How is it that in local, authentic, healthy community, church community, we think that we can violate what God has said is a system, and then we get mad because it didn't work for me? Right? So, emotional and physical needs support, allowed to express your needs, genuine, add each other into your life. You guys said this is important to you. What do you mean by add you into my life? It means that we have interaction with each other outside Sunday morning. Right? How are we doing so far? Gather around Christ to spur one another on and stir each other up. Accountability. Meaning we're invested in each other. We're invested in each other's burdens. And we do not allow. Paul talked about this with Timothy. We do not allow the enemy to take people captive at their will. That's accountability. So when someone, and I ask this question because, you know, we all say we want to be accountable, but then when we're off living our own mess, and somebody tries to step in and say, "Hey, brother, hey, sister, can we talk?" Then so many times offense comes up. Well, I have the Holy Spirit too. I can hear just as good as you. Well, wait a second. I thought we said part of healthy community was you wanted accountability. Which means we're not going to stand by and watch the enemy take you captive at your own will. Community is a training ground. This is what we said. You said you wanted as healthy community, healthy environment inside a local church. That the community is a training ground. It provides an environment or environments to learn Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit's ministries. Obviously for the reason of, so we can go out there and develop in those things and then go out there and live those things out there. Practice what we are learning. Holy Spirit ministry. And it's a safe place. Kind of goes back to that, how do we clean up the mess? Well, first you let everybody make mistakes. You know, I understand, guys, that I came through eras where the thought process was, you know, let's just keep it in the confines of a church. The thought process was, if you have a word from the Lord after worship, because this was the process. You know, we would praise and we'd worship, and then it would get quiet, and then somebody would give a word in tongues, and then somebody would give a word in English. There was supposed to be an interpretation of that tongues, and so a thought process that was in the body of Christ was, if you have a word, then you need to come up here and get the microphone, and I'll hold it for you. Or, you need to come up here, you need to tell me what it is, and if I think it's right, I'll let you give it. And I get it. We don't want somebody to burn the place down. I've seen that. I mean, you know, not literally, but I've seen that. But is that an environment? Is that a safe place? Do we know how to clean up messes? No. See, here's the thing. Here's the cool thing. If we've all come along in developing in what is Holy Spirit ministry and what is Holy Spirit, what is not, if you missed the last series we were in, it's riddled with all of those things. So that the mere peer pressure of everyone around you is going to understand what was Holy Spirit, what was not. Paul said, don't forbid to prophesy, just hold on to the good and throw out the bad. Or hold on to what was him and disregard what was human. But you don't forbid to do it at all. So we're gonna have healthy, safe places. And folks, look, if somebody has if you feel like you have a word from the Lord, then be willing to give it. But we have to be willing to give you a place to do that in our worship. And if part of it is God and part of it is something you heard on TV last night. Well, then, you know, if we're all growing in Holy Spirit ministry, we're going to realize which was what was what. And we're not going to drag you and throw you up on a cross for the part that wasn't. Right? I said right? Okay. Let me make sure. There's no one here anyway. Okay. So, practice what we're learning, Holy Spirit ministry, safe place. Everyone's able to make a contribution to the betterment of the community. Everybody is able to. That's what you said was a mark of, or what you thought was important to you in healthy community in a local church. Now, here's the questions for today. And we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on them. But question number one, and here's what you do. Everybody, you talk amongst yourselves. Now, on this particular question, it is kind of a group thing because of the way it's worded. But at Best Life Church, in what ways have you been a facilitator of healthy community? And you can talk amongst yourself, and you can talk about things that you've observed. You can talk about things that you've done personally. We're just looking for, you know, out of each group, if you got three or four folks, then, you know, have three or four things on your list. And we'll come back in like 4 minutes. And we'll talk about what you guys came up with. Okay? Hopefully, if you have a pen, if you're the one with the pen and the card, make sure you write down the answers. Okay, let's wind it up. Okay. So who's got the microphones? Okay. Everybody know how to turn the microphones on. Just push up on the very bottom. There's one side, a little half circle. If the green light's there, you're good. Okay, so let's, what group number are you?
Two.
Okay, group two. Read me some of the things that you guys, the question again is, as Best Life Church, in what ways have you been a facilitator of healthy community? And healthy community would be everything we just, what was said, you consider healthy community to be. Go ahead.
Okay, we have a lot of different ones. Facilitate in helping in the sound department, cleaning the church, being part of the book club, doing Bible studies. Home Bible studies, going out and praying for people. Then there's other ones as singing, playing an instrument, being an encouragement to others. So there's a lot of different ones.
Okay. Read those again.
Okay. Working in the sound department, cleaning the church, being part of the book club, doing home Bible studies, praying, going out and praying for others, providing yard products, helping the yard, playing an instrument, singing, being encouragement to others, ushering.
Okay. What group number are you?
Number one.
Yeah, you're number one. Okay, go ahead and read what you've got since you have the list.
You took the card away. Same thing, giving of time, praying, music, and participating in just being here and greeting people and saying hi, building relationships outside of.
You know. Okay, so that's happening?
Yeah.
I'm asking. Okay.
For some, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Who else has got the microphone? Go ahead, Stephen.
So we came up with
interaction, just like starting conversations with people. Hey, how's it going? How you doing? And actually following up on that as well. So like when the people who do know the challenges or issues that others are going through, they will actually follow up and say, how is that? Can I pray for you? What can I help with? Filling needs, like even, you know, helping outside with cleaning out the weeds and stuff. Encouraging each other, praying for each other, sharing testimonies, things like that.
Okay.
Pass the mic. Okay, so we had that.
Yeah, speak up a little bit.
Really?
I know you got it.
It's my voice after vocals. No. So we have emphasizing a safe place. Most of us over here are on the worship team. So on the worship team, we are emphasizing safe place. We are fostering a culture of personal relationships. So we're always pushing that with ourselves as we trying to contact each other throughout the week. We lay hands on each other. We don't just take a prayer request and go home with it and then by ourselves. We have cried in front of each other. We get messy in front of each other, and it's a really beautiful thing. But spreading joy in service, not in church service, meaning that we, people who are doing a service for the church, but it's not duty and it's not burden. It's real joy found in that. So that is making our community healthy, because nothing worse than talking to someone and they're like, yeah, I clean every week. You know what I mean? That's not fun. Thanks. And now I don't want to do it either. Thank you. And before we know it, Shelby's cleaning every week by herself. Also just being dedicated, giving of your time. One thing that I think we all need to thank Sarah and Robert for is this is not a paying gig. So they are at home figuring out things about music. They're at home figuring things out about our equipment. They're doing these things on their own time. And that is where the real dedication comes in and shows and has its fruit, because everything that they take the time to learn, we get better. So those are our things. Yeah. You go, team.
Okay. If we were to take the list of what we just, I know we didn't make the list, but if we were to take that list and we were to compare it to what you said healthy community looks like, how does it gel? Are we into each other's lives outside the four walls? No, I don't need a show of hands, no. Are we an inward support structure as a family, not just a department or whatever? Is that there? Is what we have said we have done as Best Life Church to contribute to a healthy community, is that showing up in what we're saying? What about real conversation, being able to share what's on your heart? Well, that would involve getting involved with each other outside the four walls, right? Spending quality time with each other. Always good to compare what we say with what we've said is healthy community, just kind of see where we're at. Because I think your answers are good. I think they're honest. I think they're even, you know, what you just said. And what you said you feel healthy community is. We're going to get into it in this series, We're going to show you from the Word a lot of aspects of what healthy community is. So we're always going to have an opportunity to take an inventory of where we're at and where we need to make adjustments. Because we want to come to the place where, as like it says in Acts, that he daily added to their midst, then they should be saved. The picture in the Greek New Testament is Jesus literally escorted someone or some people into the midst of what was the local church, and he handed them off to those people that was the local church and said, I am leaving these people in your charge. Take care of them. That is always what we're shooting for. So my wife, we were talking about this the other day, that with healthy community, the foundation of this will never change if we're willing to develop in it. It may take on different aspects as we get bigger. But we have to be willing to, we have to be willing to pray and believe God for the families, for the season that we're in, that are knit to God's heart for this church, so that they can help facilitate what healthy environment in this season looks like, so that he can add to this church, because he knows he can trust the people at Best Life Church with the people he wants to put in our midst. And he knows that when he walks them down the aisle and says, here is some people, I am entrusting them to your care, he knows that he can do that. But at every level, the level of families is different. But we need to believe God for those families that are knit to his heart for this church. And, I'll say this. There's a whole lot more I want to get into. I don't know if I will or not. But I will say this. Do you remember when Jesus, the masses were following him? And then he had to go and say something stupid. You need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. What happened? Forget about it. I'm out of here. Why did he do that? Because he wanted to offend the ones that were not supposed to be there so they would leave. And he pared it down to the ones that were truly with him, and God built from that. That's why we need to be mindful in this development of community. We need to be mindful what's going on in your heart. Don't allow darkness to sow offense in your heart. Because family members don't get offended with each other. We allow each other room to fail. But hold on to your hats. I may say things to offend on purpose. Because I can. Because I'm supposed to. Because Father wants to reveal people's hearts. And then prune, that's a good word. So understand that is part of the process. I heard a story of a particular church. They were exploding, and then all of a sudden in one Sunday they dropped down to like 60 people because people were offended and they left. But from that point on, they exploded again. And they're more solid today, and they have more of an influence in the city than they ever had before. Why? Because all the onlookers, all the sightseers, all the ones that were sitting up in the top of the bleachers that didn't want to participate, the ones that got offended and left, that was just nothing but weight, they all took off. So what you have left is you have the healthy. We have to be willing. I'm not saying you offend people on purpose, and don't you offend anybody. But I'm saying if you hear me say things as the pastor of this church responsible for the vision God put for this church, that I'm going to say things like that because God wants to pair who's supposed to be here, who's not. But don't get caught in a situation where you notice offense is rising up in you. Because Jesus says you choose to be offended. It's not something that just comes on you and you have no choice. Right? So in this environment of healthy community, people are going to make mistakes. They're going to say things. They're going to do things. But let's just guard our hearts. If we're going to say we want a safe place, then let's guard our hearts from being offended. And if anybody's going to be offended, then they need to understand that if it came from me, first they need to ask themselves why. Because it's never okay. Everybody say never.
Never.
It's never okay. Just, you know, the culture of the world is, if I say I'm offended, that makes it right. Because I admitted it. So now you need to deal with it. No, it's never all right. Ever. That's not part of your nature. That's not part of who you are. That's not part of who you are as a new creation. The new creation doesn't get offended. The new creation is impervious to hurt because the new creation lives by the love of God. And the love of God drives out fear, hurt, everything. And if we'll choose to live there, we'll become impervious to anything going on around us. I know, ladies, you can't relate to this because you don't have facial hair, but if Jesus can go through and have his beard pulled out and still not be offended, then we've got a whole lot of room to grow until offense shows up. Right? Okay. Man. Let me just show this one clip, and then we can close. I was going to get to one more question, but for the sake of time, I'm going to give you the question, and I want you guys on your own. Because we do have a directory. Everybody knew we have a directory of phone numbers on the website? Who did you call last week? It's there. I want you to contemplate this question. Individually, how do you see yourself participating in and creating that healthy environment you said is healthy environment? I'll read it again. And if you don't know the question, you can go back and listen to this recording because it'll be on there. Individually, how do you see yourself participating in and have and creating that healthy environment? Got it? Watch this clip.
I want you to understand something. When we're a family, when we're the body of Christ, you might be visiting, but we're all members of one body. I really want you to understand this, okay? I get a little emotional right now for some reason. Stuff gets me. I want you to understand the beauty and the power and the privilege of this. You matter so much. You as an individual matter so much. Your output, your participation, your attitudes, your life matters so much. And when we don't understand that, we don't realize what we do. When we don't go with the flow of God's plan and grace, we actually start living at the expense of everyone around us. We put demand on people. We put people in a position where they have to minister to us or endure us or bear with us. I'm telling you, we're a family. Your attitude is huge and important. Your life is to be a living epistle, an example. When you gather these kids up here, it wrecks me. A couple of weeks ago, they gathered all the kids like you did, Pastor, and I lost it. I had a God moment. I started to cry uncontrollably, and I realized the heritage in these children and how God sees them, and they're innocent. And there's some of these kids are so tiny. He said, unless you become like a little child. And I'm thinking, these children are teeny little tiny, and what you represent to them and what you impart to them could be transforming, could be solidifying, and could be very, very valuable to their little precious lives. If we think that Christianity is anything other than Christ-likeness, we're going to send different messages to little ones and other ones. And people look at the church and say, if that's Christianity, I don't want nothing to do with it, because they think we're the representation of Him. They just think, well, I don't do church. If that's what gospel is, I don't want nothing to do with it. Your life matters so much. This isn't a condemning message. This is a sobering thing. We're family. We're part of something. We have to understand that even in our homes when we leave here, we don't get so familiar with one another that we talk some way or act some way that we never would around another person at church. We've got to take this serious at some point without feeling condemned and like it's legalistic and say, man, my life matters a lot. Come on, the same price tag is in on every person in this room. There's everyone in this room is of equal value to God the Father. You can't prove it otherwise. Every person is worth the blood of Jesus. There's not one with higher value. There's not one with lesser. Your Christ-likeness, your life lived by grace is very important to the sphere of influence that you possess and obtain. And I just want to encourage you in that. It is not cool. It is not cool to think that Christianity is less than Christ-likeness. It's not church attendance. We're the church. We gather ourselves together for what reason? Why don't we forsake the assembling of ourselves together? What's the Bible say? Why do we assemble ourselves together? To stir one another up in love and good works. I'm just being real with you. I don't know what you expect this morning. I never know what to expect. But this is stuff that's in my heart right now, so I'm just going to roll with it with confidence. You can't afford to just have attitudes. It's not about whatever. It's about Jesus being Lord, man. If what's coming out of your attitudes and your mindsets and your motives isn't producing life, get a grip on that. Get along with God. Settle your heart. Get real with God and get that thing out of you because it doesn't bring life to anyone. Amen. There's a place in 2 Timothy where Paul said, I endure all things for the sake of, and you think he would say Christ and get spiritual with us. He tells Timothy to commit these things to faithful men. Men that are going to run the race. Men that are going to do something with what you give them and become that living epistle and product of what you impart. And then he talks about a farmer and being the first to partake. And he's telling Timothy to stay in this thing and keep on sowing into faithful men, right? And then he goes on and he says, therefore I endure all things. You think he would say for the sake of Christ. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of Christ. He doesn't say that. He says I endure all things for the sake of the elect. What he's saying is my life and my example matters so much. I'm not going to grow weary in well-doing. It's not an option. I'm not going to have a fit and throw a frustration. I'm not going to have anger and unforgiveness. It's not an option. Christ is in me, and He's the hope of glory. Today is not a day to fall apart. Today is a day to stand strong and be an example to the people around me, the young little ones, so that we never teach people that Christianity is church attendance. Christianity is not church attendance. If you take your children to church and live less than Christ and pursue less than Christ, you're teaching your children without realizing it. That going to church is a Christian. Living Christ is a Christian. Make no mistake about it. Pursuing is, it doesn't mean we're perfect, but let's get off of that weak phrase. Well, nobody's perfect. That can be a cop-out and a justification for your flesh. And all of a sudden, tomorrow is yesterday. No, we're growing up into Him in all things. And if He says it's possible, then bless God, it's possible. If He said we can walk in love, we can walk in love. If He said we can be merciful, then we can be merciful. This is not a season to have your heart hardened by life. It's a time to have it tenderized by the Spirit of the living God. I'm telling you, we're not people with a bunch of issues. We're people with an answer, and His name is King Jesus. Are you guys following me? I'm sorry, I'm so passionate. I really realize.
We're not a people with a bunch of issues. We're a people with an answer. Let me just tell you this. We're done. Y'all can, you know, go back to your seats or whatever. Fix the chairs all up. One of the greatest joys as a pastor is to see your people initiating things without you having to say, hey, why don't we, and fill in the blank. One of the greatest marks of maturity as a church is when the people that are that church are in the lives of each other And some of the greatest things that come out of that church came out of that church, not because the pastor initiated and say, hey, let's do this and fill in the blank. But they actually came together and said, hey, you know what? This is in our hearts. Let's do this. And it came from the people. It didn't come from the leadership. Are you hearing me here? Some of the greatest impacts of a church in a society, in a culture, happened because it wasn't because the leadership had an idea and we wanted to get people on board with it. It happened because the people were interactive in the lives of each other, and out of that constant union, they came up with, let's do this, let's do this, let's do this. And it was a groundswell, and it literally caught fire. That's the mark of a mature church. And that's when we can really start seeing God say, you know what? I can trust them with the people of that city. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. Amen? I really enjoyed this last couple of weeks, because it's always good to, you know, for you guys to get together and talk and you know, verbalize some things that are going on in our hearts. Verbalize what's stirring. So the important step now is, what are we going to do with it? Is this going to be just another series that we move on in? And 2 months down the road, we look back and we're same place? Or are we going to choose to do something, make some adjustments, and let's see what God can do. Let's see what God can do with this thing He's called Best Life Church. Because it is the best life. There is no better. Right? Father, in the name of Jesus, we love You. And we just thank You and praise You for what You're doing in this place and in the lives of us as Your people. So, Father, we just ask You to, the things that have been verbalized, the things that have come out of the hearts of the people, that You cause those things to become flesh and dwell among us. That we'll be a people that make room for folks to make mistakes. That we be a people that are not afraid to be involved with people's lives. That we're not afraid to have people be involved in our life. And that we create environments to where we find ways to do that, so that You can in turn trust us with people. So I thank You for that, Lord, and I thank You for where You're taking us. I thank You for the foundation, the fertilizer, the seeds, everything that's been planted and fertilized, and that Your word does not return void. And I thank You, Lord, that I believe out of the hearts of the people in this room, You're growing what Best Life Church has always been in Your heart. And all we want to say is, we're in. We're up for it. We want to go with You, whatever that looks like. And I thank You for it, and I praise You for it. And everybody agree with that prayer? Said, amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.